Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and my co-host today on this beautiful Monday is Sixto Molina. Hello, Sixto. How you doing today?
Hello, Ed. Doing well, thank you.
We were just lamenting about how we don't ever get to see each other as much as we used to and how we were attached at the hip there for about 5 years, right?
Yes, we were.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep that up and keep you coming in here. This is great. I also want to thank Matt Neely for his great work as a producer of our shows. And all week long, he has me today, and tomorrow on Tuesday, I'll have General Ted Maxwell. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger from Union Public House. And on Thursday, Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance will be in with the Tucson Botanical Gardens. And then I'll be back on Friday with some business success stories. We're going to talk today to three fantastic people. We'll start with Adrian Robertson, and then we'll come back and talk with Steve and Chris. We'll let you know who they are in just a second. But let's get started with our good friend, Adrian Robertson. Adrian is the dance team palm line coach at the University of Arizona. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Ed. Thanks for having me on this morning.
It's so fantastic to have you with us. You know, I was just talking to Steve Patterson here, and he came and spoke to my class a little while ago, and you just came and spoke to my class at the University of Arizona about sales. And one of the analogies that you use is your time as the head coach of the palm line at the U of A, and how that has just been a blessing for you in your life.
Yes, absolutely. I am a graduate of the University of Arizona and was on the dance team for 4 years while I was at the university. And when I graduated, my coach was actually leaving, and I stepped into the role as head coach. And this is my 13th season coaching. And it's been fun.
Lucky 13. I know Chad Shoopman, the director of bands, is just raves about you and what you've done for the program over those 13 years. Can you talk a little bit about after you took over the program, how you, you know, this program that we're talking about today, Jump in Tucson, is all about success stories and promoting the good things that happen at the University of Arizona. Can you talk just a little bit about how you select and train and encourage and support and promote your girls through their process here at the U of A, but then many of them go on to some prominence and some other activities in the pros, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So when I took over the program, I have a very big pageantry background as well as a dance background. And so what I did is I brought those two worlds together and really started to train these dancers to be ambassadors, not only just for our organization, the Arizona Palm Line, but for the university. They spend a lot of time out in the community, as well as, you know, perfecting halftime shows with the marching band. But they also travel to tournaments, and they're sitting next to, you know, large donors and prominent people with the university. So within our Yes Dance world, we also talk about how they carry themselves outside of the university, as well as when they're representing our organization at events and you know, when they're traveling. So we go through this sort of routine of you know, manners and professionalism, and that partnered with the dancing is what these NFL and MBA programs are looking for. And so over the past 13 years, I've had over 50 dancers make NFL and NBA teams, to include the Dallas Cowboys, cheerleaders, the LA Rams. We have many girls on the Cardinals and the Suns, as well as Miami Dolphins and Patriots. So it's been a fun adventure, and a lot of our dancers are going on to that next level and making these big pro teams.
And a lot of that success is because of you and the enthusiasm that you bring to the program and your vision for what the team is going to do. And of course, the band itself got that big award this year, and of course the dance team is an integral part of that whole process.
Yes, the Pride won the Sudler Award, which is a huge honor in the college marching band. You can only win it once, and it's just a huge honor to be recognized at that collegiate level amongst, you know, some of the world's country's best college marching bands. And so it's cool that the band actually received that honor. And it's fun to be a part of their culture and environment. And it is truly, the Pride is the heartbeat of the university. And at football games and basketball games, we're like the extra player on the sidelines that, you know, helps the team win.
It was pretty cool when we were at the Sands Club prior to the games, on the Thursdays prior to the games, we did some tailgate parties there. And it was amazing when the dance team came in and with the band and did that whole process, how they light up a room. It's amazing how the fans just get really, really pumped up with the band and the palm line.
Yes, and that's one of the things that we talk about is, you know, we have one of the most competitive college dance team auditions in the country here at the University of Arizona, and it's because when you get into that uniform, you become an ambassador. When you step into a school and you read to, you know, first grade classes or fifth grade classes, you are wearing our colors and you are like a mini celebrity. And it comes with a lot of responsibility, but it's so cool for these dancers to get to experience, you know, that level of professionalism and excitement that they get to bring to the community.
Well, you do a fantastic job. We appreciate what you do for the young ladies that are in your charge and what you do for the community. You seem to be everywhere. You're at every game, and you guys are always all over town. You're an excellent example of what wonder is at the University of Arizona. So, Adrian Robertson, we love you. We think you're fantastic, and your girls do a great job of the professionalism and moving on into the pros. You do a great job. So thank you for being with us this morning.
Yes, thank you for having me, and bear down and go Cat.
There you go. You are listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. We'll be back in just a minute, and we'll talk some safety and security at the University of Arizona with a couple of administrators who take that on, a very serious passion that they have about making sure that the U of A is safe. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. Along with me this morning is Sixto Molina. Sixto, you had a long career in law enforcement, didn't you?
35 years, Ed.
35 years. You were not only a TPD officer, but you also ran the South Tucson Police Department for several years.
For 10 years. And then after that, I went to Sunnyside and was their security coordinator for 10 years.
So law enforcement's near and dear to your heart, and it's something that you've spent your whole life doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, we got a couple of guys here from the University of Arizona who take that on as a mantle every day and make sure that the University of Arizona is safe and secure. Our guests today are Steve Patterson, who's the Chief Safety Officer, and Chief Chris Olson, who is the head of the U of A Police Department. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
So let's get started. Let's start with you, Steve, and just give us a little bit of your journey of how you got back to Tucson here and are now the Chief Safety Officer at the University of Arizona.
Absolutely. But again, Ed, thank you very much for having us today. I'm actually from Tucson, and after going to school I went to college up at NAU, and somewhere around the halfway through my time at NAU, I decided I wanted to be an FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
So took me a little while to get there, but I ultimately ended up becoming an FBI agent. Spent a little over 24 years as an agent, really traveled the world, did a lot of amazing things, and spent the last 4 or 5 years as an agent. I was the assistant agent in charge down here in Tucson. So basically I ran the southern third of the state, and it was an opportunity for me to come back home. Mm-hmm. It was a great opportunity for my wife and the kids to come back to Tucson, and retired from the FBI about 18 months ago. And shortly after the events that occurred in October of 2022 on the University of Arizona campus, I was asked to at first do some consulting for U of A, looking at their physical safety and their threat assessment team.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting in May this past year, started the became the chief safety officer and in charge of the Office of Public Safety.
Great. And Chris, you know, Sixto and I know your former chief, Danny Sharp, really well. And we know some of your other chiefs, Harry Hustis and Anthony, Tony Denkin. And so you were with the U of A. And tell us your story about getting back and now becoming the chief of police.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ed. And having Sixto here is pretty cool. I was a young police officer at the University of Arizona when Chief Molina was heading up the South Tucson Police Department. I was a dog handler, and I would often go and train with your SWAT team. So seeing you here is it's a treat for me. I've been here for 47 years. I'm kind of a native Tucson. I was actually raised out east outside of Buffalo. Been in Tucson just about all of my life. Started with the Pima College Police Department just for about 15, 16 months, and I went over to U of A from 1994 to 2001. I was a dog handler, motorcycle officer there, and then I went off to work with Chief Danny Sharp at the town of Oro Valley from 2001 until just last month. I actually retired January 25th.
And so let's talk a little bit about what how the interface between Steve's office as the chief security officer and your department, which has, you know, been providing security and safety for the University of Arizona for over 100 years, probably. It's been a long time that the department's been around. So how do you guys interface, and how do you work together as a unit to make sure that we're safe and secure at the U of A?
Well, when the Office of Public Safety was started last May, one of the key points was to ensure that all areas of safety are involved and are incorporated in the Office of Public Safety. So you have reporting underneath the Office of Public Safety. You have University of Arizona Police Department, Chris Olson as the chief. You have risk management. We have our threat assessment team, emergency management, parking and transportation facilities. So much of safety, when you talk about the campus, and really the campus is large, but then when you start thinking about the other areas that the university owns throughout the state,
right?
So every week we meet, we talk, go through the challenges, go through the opportunities that we have as a group. So the engagement between the Office of Public Safety, Chris and I, is daily. But the real key is it minimizes the gaps, because the relationship between Chief Olson and facilities, parking and transportation, risk management, all those things combined to make sure that we don't have any really gaps when it comes to safety.
Right. And how you're the most visible part of the U of A safety protocol. When somebody needs somebody, they call the police department and your guys show up. Tell us a little bit about your interface with the community at the U of A and the students, faculty, staff, visitors, the community at large, and other police departments.
Yeah, it's actually been wonderful. The community has been very welcoming as we, you know, work with the Office of Public Safety as part of it. I like to discuss that we're taking a whole community approach to safety now. In the past, you know, you look at UAPD and, you know, safety was their responsibility, their charge. And I think oftentimes maybe they felt alone in it. The task is overwhelming. If you look at the University of Arizona campus, you have 60 to 65,000 people on that campus within a square mile. It makes it the most densely populated square mile in all of Pima County. And, you know, you have a police department responsible for the safety of all those individuals. So working with the other partners at the Office of Public Safety, especially TAMPT, the Threat Assessment Management Team under the leadership of Dr. Jesse Simmons, has been very critical. I talk with Dr. Simmons as much as I talk with Steve here on behavioral health threats and looking at disrupting or mitigating those type of things. But again, with, you know, our facilities management group, and parking transportation is looking how we can look at some of the crime that we're seeing and how we can work together to partner and solve some of these issues. It's been wonderful. And then spreading that message to the community. You know, our goal at UAPD is to continue to build and strengthen trust, so the community becomes our force multiplier when it comes to public safety, that they're out there trusting us and making the necessary reports when they see things.
Chris, the police departments have to stay one step ahead of the crooks. Can you tell us some of the things that you're looking forward, some of the projects that you're looking forward to at the U of A PD?
Well, that's always the challenge, right? You know, the first part of that is getting the community together to, you know, help us combat crime. You know, I'm a big advocate that people should not be victims of crime. Students should be able to go to school and not go back to their vehicle and see that it was broken into. So getting the community to come together and working together with the police department to, you know, be observers, to report suspicious activity. But then again, with the police department itself, getting out there, engaging with the community, we do that on foot, we do that on bike, we do that in cars, you know, and being highly visible. You know, the key with any police department is making your 60-person police force look like 120, right? We want that deterrent effect where people, they take a wide berth around the university because they know that we don't tolerate crime and disorder on that campus. So again, working with our community and working together to really foster an environment of safety and crime prevention.
Excellent.
And the whole focus of the 33-point plan that came up after the situation and that your execution of that has been really well received on campus, I think, at least from, I'm an instructor there and I have a couple hundred students every semester, and it seems to be a pretty positive response.
I believe so. The interesting part is that we started with the 33 that the PACS group provided, and really through the work we've done with the community, we've actually identified a number of other mm-hmm. areas, and we've done probably upwards of 200 different initiatives, be it, you know, physical updates, mm-hmm. be it training, be it awareness, over the last year, right. And we are constantly challenging ourselves, working daily with Chief Olson and everybody. Okay, what now do we do? We still have a lot of work to do. Creating awareness mm-hmm. is significant. We have conversations, probably meeting with a half a dozen different groups within the community on a weekly basis, faculty, staff, students, really starting to get more involved with the student population. Mm-hmm. I certainly appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak to your class.
Yeah. We'll talk about that after the break. That was a neat project. Yeah.
Yes. So we want to do more of that. We're actually looking at later on this month doing a safety stroll. Mm-hmm. Basically, in the evening, we regularly with facilities will walk around campus in the evening and make sure that the lights, mm-hmm. there's no lights out. Other areas, do we need to trim bushes or anything like that? But we're actually going to recruit some students to walk around campus at 8-9 o'clock at night. And I want to hear from them. I want to know, where do they feel concerned, you know? And I think it'll be very positive. And make sure that we're staying on top of any physical areas that we need to be aware of.
We're almost to break, but I just wanted to jump in, no pun intended, and say that when the president came to interview for his job and was here for the first couple of weeks, he went around and did some town halls, and he would ask people, what's my number one responsibility as your new president? And people would say, you know, get a football coach, get a basketball coach, raise money, you know, recruit students, get good faculty, get good research grants. They'd go down this list, and the list would be very long, and he would pause and say, well, my number one responsibility as president of this institution is to make sure that when you send your kids to our school, that they come back 4 years later safe and sound. And so safety and security is my number one thing. And I think that's a tribute to him with the 33 points. He accepted all of them, and he's moving forward with that whole initiative, and it's not been easy, but it's been a good initiative. We'll be back in just a minute. We're talking with Steve Patterson from the Chief Safety Officer at the University of Arizona and Chief Chris Olson from the U of A Police Department. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ed Ackerley. My co-host today on this beautiful Monday is Sixto Molina. Welcome again, Sixto.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate you.
We have this law enforcement focus today. It's perfect to have you here. And just a reminder that this is the Wonder segment. Mondays are when we talk about the good things happening at the University of Arizona. This program today is sponsored by Michael Kasher of Halu'aloha Companies. We want to thank Mike for his support of the University of Arizona. and for the support of Jump in Tucson. Our guests today are Steve Patterson, the Chief Safety Officer, and Chief Chris Olson, the head of the U of A Police Department at the University of Arizona. So, Chief Olson, let's talk just a little bit about some of those community initiatives that you have planned for the future and what you're trying to do with the community and engage them in this whole process.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, when Steve reached out about coming over to U of A, we had some good conversations about things that UAPD needed to be good at pretty quickly. And behavioral health and behavioral threats, obviously, after October 5 is at the top of that. And so in the past 6 months, we very quickly created a mental health support team officer. This officer works very closely with the TAMP group and Dr. Jesse Simmons almost daily on evaluating, you know, certain behaviors on campus and whatnot. The other thing was creating a victim advocate program. We know that when bad things happen, those interviews are real tough, and I know Chief Molina knows that when you're interviewing a victim of a violent crime, it's tough on both the detective and the victim. And having a true professional, a trauma-informed clinician in those rooms to help with pace and cadence and, you know, support, primarily provide the support for the victim, is important. So we have that going on. Additionally, we started a community academy. A lot of cities have citizens academies. I know the federal government, the FBI, has a citizens academy, and I don't know that one's ever been started at a university, but we have one now. It's a 10-week academy for faculty and staff. It launched last Wednesday, the inaugural night. It'll go for 10 weeks every Wednesday for 2 hours, and the goal is to share every aspect of the organization, including the outstanding men and women of the agency. Share their roles, their experiences, and then get feedback from our community. You know, maybe identify some blind spots and things we can do better. And the last program that we're really excited about, we should be launching this around April, is the Blue Envelope Program. At the heart of it, it's a traffic safety program, but it's designed to improve safety of those with autism or spectrum disorders. So when they get stopped by law enforcement, they'll present law enforcement with a blue envelope that houses their registration and insurance. And that's the visual key to the officer that the driver has autism or a spectrum disorder, and adjust communication appropriately, like turning the lights off, slowing down the cadence. Our officers will receive training on autism and spectrum disorders and some other neurodivergent disabilities. This is going to be a statewide program. It's already got support of the Department of Transportation, so we're pretty excited about that. So look for that in April.
All right. When I worked security at Sunnyside, I worked for a superintendent who was very progressive, and he put safe and orderly above everything. He says his belief was, if you don't have a safe campus environment, teachers can't teach and students can't learn. I would imagine, judging by all the initiatives that you have going on, that the same thing is true at the University of Arizona. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I think safety, you know, is the government's number one responsibility. It doesn't matter if it's an institution or a city or a county. I mean, if safety, you know, doesn't exist, you know, other things cannot follow. So, you know, safety, you know, it's been something I've been doing, you know, and going on 32 years now. I came from a place that I think did it really well in the town of Oro Valley. And, you know, again, parents trust to send their kids internationally to this campus to be safe. And then our faculty and staff, you know, they should be able to come to work and feel safe and feel supported. You know, I've been an adjunct instructor for 7 years at the University of Arizona. I've had some engagements with students that, you know, felt a little concerning to me. And I'm a law enforcement professional, so I can only imagine how they feel to someone outside of that scope of work. So ensuring that we're there to support the needs of our entire community is really very, very important in our number one priority at UAPD.
So you said that the community academy has already started, but I'm sure you'll run some more of those. But if to coin our term of jump in, part of the process of the Jump in Tucson format is try to engage people in the process of their own governance and their own community and get involved and go to the, you know, we say that 7 million people come here from all over the world to enjoy Tucson. And some people in Tucson don't even go to some of the attractions and things that we have here, and they spend a whole lifetime here never having engaged in that process. And so jumping in as part of this whole theme that we're trying to espouse, how would a person get involved with your community activities and help and be aware and be engaged in the process?
if we're talking specifically about the Community Academy, I will tell you that...
standing room only, and wait list is pretty long, I bet.
We filled up 50 seats in about 26 hours. The registration was incredible, and we're very excited about that. That's why we're going to hold two academies, one in the spring, one in the fall, for every year. 50, I got to tell you, 50 is a heavy lift, 50 students. And we realized that Steve and I were day one addressing the class, and 50 is pretty big, but we're going to try to continue to meet that. You know, if you look at the scope of our faculty and staff, you know, being able to get 100 people in our class a year doesn't seem like a lot, so we're going to do whatever we can. But that's the first part. You know, we discussed having a academy for students. You know, the tough thing with that is obviously schedules.
Right.
And then the deans have approached us about a dean's academy, maybe kind of a shortened version that we may be able to do in the summer. So we're very excited about that. But we, you know, we certainly invite the media to come out and kind of look at the class, sit in for one of the classes, because we want to really get the word out on the great things that we're doing with our community at the university.
So they could contact the non-emergency line at the UAPD to talk with one of your community resource officers to get some information about how they might be able to jump in and get some more information and help out as the best they can?
Sure. I mean, for non-U of A affiliate folks, mm-hmm. we don't have something set up for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're a member of the university through either faculty, staff, that type of engagement. Yeah,
Which is, you know, like you said, 67,000. I think it's 127,000 in the state. There's, you know, it's a, one of my previous department heads said if U of A was a city, it'd be like the fifth largest city in the state of Arizona.
We actually have a faculty member coming up from Sierra Vista to attend the class every Wednesday.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's your relationship with TPD and with Oro Valley Police, Marana Police, Sahuarita Police, the Sheriff's Office, the FBI, and all the other jurisdictions that you probably have a pretty good symbiotic relationship? Well, we obviously see it at football games because they're all there, but you have a good relationship with the other jurisdictions.
Yeah, you know, Steve and Chief Malik can attest to this. Southern Arizona is a very small community, a very small law enforcement community. We're not the size and scope of Phoenix, right? So we all grew up together, quite frankly. Chief Kazmar, Chief Nolan, you know, the sheriff is of a older generation, but the sheriff has been around for a very long time, and I grew up with a lot of his command staff. So our relationships are extremely strong, and I think it's one of the reasons that Steve asked me to come down and head up the department is because for the past 30 years, I've literally grown up with the law enforcement leadership in Southern Arizona.
That's great. Well, go ahead, Sixto.
I want to add to your comment about being a very close-knit law enforcement community. When I attend the U of A football games, there are law enforcement agencies from all over working at the U of A. The last thing on my mind is I'm in danger because I see so many police officers, I don't even think about being in danger. And I want to compliment the U of A Police Department for putting that together. Can you expand on, tell us a little bit about the background of bringing all the law enforcement agencies together?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, again, 20 years at Oro Valley, I've been working as an incident commander at those games as a member of the Oro Valley Police Department, so I saw it from the other side for many years. But no, obviously, you know, it takes well over 100 police officers to provide law enforcement services to those football games. You throw in another couple hundred security personnel, it's quite a heavy lift. We have a special events coordinator and lieutenant that oversee and coordinate all that work. They do fantastic work coordinating with the other agencies and their liaisons. Every year we hold a meeting prior to the first game of the season. We go over new initiatives, concerns, and we debrief after the games. There's always an after-action report, and we stay in constant contact. But it's pretty symbiotic. We could not do it without our regional partners. The FBI plays a role in that with their intelligence and surveillance teams as well. So it's just not state local. We have our federal partners out there with HSI as well.
Well, great. We'll take a break and we'll come back in just a minute. We'll talk about applied learning in the classroom and how Steve came in and talked with our students and what happened there. Our guests today are Steve Patterson, Chief Safety Officer, and Chris Olson, the Chief of U of A Police Department. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. We'll be back in just a minute with more stories about wonder at the University of Arizona. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. The Monday theme is Wonder at the University of Arizona. We're joined again by Steve Patterson, Chief Safety Officer, and Chief Chris Olson of the U of A Police Department. Coming up tomorrow, Ted Maxwell hosts the Tuesday edition with TUSD Superintendent Gabe Trujillo and Shelley Watson. Grant Kruger will be here on Wednesday. Tom Moulton will be in on Thursday with the Tucson Botanical Gardens and Michelle Conklin. And I return at the end of the week with business success stories with RJ Saavedra from Reach Out Women's Center. So we've been talking about safety and security at the University of Arizona with two experts in that. Steve, you came into our class at the University of Arizona, Eller College of Management, and talked to our students about safety and security. Specifically, they did a project called Campus Unarmed, which was working with the Department of Homeland Security to mitigate violence on campus, and I think you did a good job because they took third place in the nation on their presentation to the department. So let's talk a little bit about bringing safety into the classroom.
Sure. First, I think all the credit should go to the students and the professor. I was there for about 30 minutes. I think when you talk about campus safety, it really starts with the classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. Part of it is the awareness of, you know, the students and the professors, and trying to ensure that they feel safe so they can learn. A lot of the things that we did have really started in the classroom. A lot of the work we did as far as putting locks on doors. Mm-hmm. And so the classrooms, with one push of the button, you can lock the classroom doors. The safety awareness posters that we had put mm-hmm. up in every one of the classrooms, really just kind of a snapshot reminder, if you will, on what to do in a given situation.
Those digital readers that are in the rooms too are awesome because they, you know, back in October they kicked in and they were able to tell us exactly what to do and where to go, and the kids were really focused. Obviously, they were getting their notices on their phones as well. But it's nice to have that. And the blue box in the room is also really important.
Yeah. It's what we're trying to do is we're trying to layer safety. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, with communication being so quick, we want to make sure that we are providing updates through phones, through computers, audio, video, and trying to standardize that as much as we can. RU Alert messaging that is led by University of Arizona Police Department, trying to make sure that's clear, concise. We've added, we've embedded Google Map in there, so that way when we discuss during a U Alert a particular location, you click mm-hmm. on the map, you see where it's at. A lot of time, one of the challenges that we have with the university is there's 100+ buildings on the university. A lot of the buildings have multiple names. Mm-hmm. Students don't necessarily know. Heck, some faculty and staff don't necessarily know the building that they're in at any given point in time. So that type of information helps enable people to know what to do, where they're at, if there's a situation, be able to make the decision as to are they going to leave? Are they going to, you know, board up the rooms? What are they going to do?
And I would say, you know, having been at the university first as a student back in the 70s and then coming back for the last 3 decades as an instructor, faculty member, it is, in the 70s and 80s, we didn't talk much about safety and security. It wasn't really top of mind awareness. We'd have an engagement with the police department every once in a while, maybe if the party was too loud or something like that, but there wouldn't be a lot of engagement with safety and security. And I would say that my students now are really fine-tuned to their own safety, their own security, and are very thankful for. And we talked at the beginning of the semester, I was teasing with you earlier about the sound of safety, the door locks that they've put in at the McClelland Hall are a little bit clunky and loud, but that's so that they can be locked remotely or locked from that button. And I tell the students that, you know, when you hear that noise, let's celebrate that we're safe. And that's a good thing. So I think our students are more engaged in the process. And I also wanted to focus on what we found out with the class study that we did for the Department of Homeland Security, the faculty also has a stronger sense of safety and security now, a few months after that these protocols have been put in place.
Absolutely. I get emails weekly from various members of faculty asking me very concise questions on, hey, this is the building I'm at. I'm over in this room. Mm-hmm. This is where my office are. I was thinking, Where would I go if something were to happen?
Mm-hmm.
I love those emails and I love those conversations because that means people are thinking about it.
Right.
As you start to walk through these different scenarios, and I don't want for us to have to go through this, but I think in the day and age that we're in, we need to be aware. You need to think about these things. I have conversations with members of faculty, staff, weekly, where we talk about, okay, I'm in this beautiful building that's all glass. Where do I go? And those are conversations I love having with people.
Well, Sixto, it's amazing that, after your 40-year career in law enforcement, how we're still talking about it comes down to community and trust and working together.
Trust is everything in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to trust the police. If the people don't trust the police, then they're not going to follow what you ask them to do. They're not going to follow the laws. So trust is number one, absolutely.
And so the engagement with UAPD has been really positive. The students, in our experience, when we had that experience with the kids working on the project, the research that they were able to gather was a very favorable response to the UA Police Department. And you would think that in some cases younger people might have a little bit of angst towards the law enforcement, but our research showed that most students looked at the police department in that trust, and here comes the cavalry, and this is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to hear that, because I will tell you, in the 7 months, and obviously I've stayed close to the men and women at UAPD, but their courage, their compassion, their competency is, it's amazing, and they do love this community. A lot of them can go elsewhere, and they choose to stay a member of UAPD because they believe in serving our institution. So, no, I'm happy to hear that. They're incredible people, and I look forward to, sharing more of them with the community each and every day.
Well, Steve, we've got another project working this semester with the Department of Homeland Security. We're certainly going to reach out to you and have you come back. And Chief Olson, we'd like to have you come back and talk with the students about how they can be a catalyst for awareness and help the community grow even better at the process of being aware and making sure that our university is safe and secure for everyone.
Thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to that. The more awareness we can provide to the community, the better.
Well, thank you, Chief Sixto Molina, for being with us this morning. Chief Chris Olson and the Chief Security Officer at the University of Arizona, Steve. And we thank you all for what you do for the young men and women who are in our charge at the university, as well as the faculty, staff, and the community that engages with the University of Arizona. And, this whole program is about wonder and about celebrating the good things. And Chief Olson, you said the men and women who are on the police department at the U of A, they are devoting themselves to a noble cause, and they're wonderful people, and they are doing an excellent job, and we support them fully in what they're doing. We support you in your efforts to do what you need to do to make sure that we have a safe environment at the U of A. And thank you
appreciate
for your leadership
thank you.
As well, Steve, for what
Thanks,
you do.
Sir.
This has been fantastic. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. We want to thank our producer, Matt Neely. We want to thank my co-host today, as always, Sixto Molina. Tomorrow, tune in to General Ted Maxwell, who will be talking with Superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. My good friend, Grant Kruger from Union Public House, will be here on Wednesday. Tom Moulton will be with the Tucson Botanical Gardens on Thursday. And I'll be back next Friday with Business Success Stories, RJ Saavedra from Reach Out Women's Center. We'd like to thank Mike Kasser of Halu'aloha Companies for sponsoring today's show. This is Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Thank you for listening, and we'll be talking to you later in the week.